Praise God. And would you please stand? I want to say thank you also to Brother McNair for coming in and playing for us this morning. Praise. First-class organist, first-class individual. And also, Brother Roger Weekly, good to see you. So good to see you. Praise God. And all of you. And one thing that we didn't make mention, Donnie Bakken. Brother Donnie Bakken, his sister passed away. She was baptized here several years ago. She lived in Colorado. And we want you to remember the Bakken family. And please pray that God would undergird them and give them the strength that they need. Praise God. And to the Neesums, congratulations. It's always good to see these new babies come into the world. You know, if we're having so many babies around, if we didn't have an outreach program, we'd still grow. And our outreach director and his wife are expecting a baby. And it's so good to see healthy families, growing families, and also a growing church. It really is so good to see a growing church. And today is Memorial Day. And not today, but tomorrow. But this is the day in which we celebrate Memorial Day here at church. And as Pastor Roy had stated, the Memorial Day is actually for people who have given their life for the service of our country. And of course, we also salute the veterans and the present soldiers that are serving in our military. And there's one thing that I'm always impressed with, and that is when I'm in a place of business and see someone in uniform, I usually go up to them and thank them for serving our country. But many times, while I'm thanking them or even before, others step up and say thank you. And I really do appreciate the people who have given their lives. You got to understand that it is so unselfish to give your life for the continuation of our freedom, and yet the people who do that never experience it. They seem to come out on the short end of the stick, so to speak. So this is a day in which we need to show much gratitude. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, and I want to read verse 24 and 25, and it sounds like we're going to take communion, but this is what Paul says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we also want to be very thankful, full of gratitude for all of the soldiers of the faith and those who have given their lives for us. Because here we are experiencing a life of freedom. But remember, somebody blazed the trail before you came along. Calvary Gospel Church had its beginning in 1943. And so many of the pioneers of this church have passed on to be with God. And they never experienced this property, this facility, the number of people that we have receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But could you say that they're not responsible? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because they pioneered and left behind such a great legacy for us, and we're just so thankful that we can come and remember them also. Now, all the way back to Jesus Christ, In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, pardon me, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 24 and 25, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, that's talking about the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And then verse 26, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Now, verse 25 is the scripture I'd actually put down to read. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as oft as we do this, we show the Lord's death until he comes back. God bless you. You may be seated. There is nothing in the scripture that tells us how often we should take communion. We usually take communion three times a year here at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, three times would not be nearly enough if we did not have so many other occasions upon which we talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. Every time I preach, I always talk about the gospel. According to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord. Because he died, we have this great privilege of repenting. Our sins were nailed to the cross. And so as a result, we can repent. He was also buried in a borrowed tomb. And we can be buried with him in baptism. And then he arose to newness of life. And because of that, we can have the resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost right here in our own lives. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection is not something that you just talk about, but it's something you experience. I just see that Sister McNair is here. Good to see you, Sister McNair. Yes. And also, Brother Trey's beautiful wife and children, I did not see you here, but good to have all of you here. All right. Yes. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Now, communion is not for the forgiveness of sins, as some people, as some denominations teach. In fact, Paul even says in the 27th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, his body was pure and spotless. Now, he took on our sin, but he himself had never sinned. And so Paul is saying, now this is not for the forgiveness of sins. This we do in remembrance of him. So we should clean our hearts up. We should be as he was before we take communion. So it's not for the remembrance. It is for the remembrance of his death and his suffering on the cross. And we are partakers of that, but we should never forget that it's not our righteousness, because we could not be sinless without his blood. I said, we cannot be sinless without his blood. Now, I am a lot more traditional than maybe old school. Maybe that's a good phrase. So I'm going to be talking about some values that I think enhances gratitude. I notice on the internet reading the news Wednesday, the new Catholic Pope gave a message that shook the Catholic faith, the Catholic world. And he said that people who do righteousness or do good. If you remember Wednesday night, I spoke on righteousness added to faith, just fuels the fire. But he went so far as to say that even atheists who do right are indeed redeemed, as well as other non-Catholics. Now that's sure a twist on the Catholic doctrine, because you know Catholics, even though they like to pull people their way, they have been unbending in their toleration of non-Catholics through the years. So he's kind of shaken the Catholic world. So I wouldn't say that the new Pope is old school Catholic, for sure. But you're looking at an old school Pentecostal. Now, there's one thing that we see in these last days in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, and this is a sign of the last day. The Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, very selfish. You can't be full of gratitude if you're selfish. You can't be. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. So this is a sign of the last. These are signs of the last days, and this is where we live. We're blessed beyond measure because of the many, many, many prayers that are prayed for all of us here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we've been able to bless others by sending missionaries and various ones to different parts of the world. We have some people now serving overseas, and I just thank the Lord that they were able to go. I think this is the day in which we just need to practice being thankful. You know, some things you have to practice. You know, Paul said, study to be quiet. Basically what he's saying is, why don't you practice to be quiet? Because some people do more talking than listening, and they put their tongue in gear before their brain turns over. So why don't you study to be quiet? In other words, every time you open your mouth, why don't you think about letting somebody else talk? Our elders, we have a good number. How many people do we have in the building that's over 65? Why don't you just quickly stand, okay, if you're over 65. All right. Good. Yes. Now, I think you can be an elder of the faith and be younger than 65, but I just want to tell you a few things about my growing up. If my mom even heard me say something negative about someone your age, I'm talking about the ones that are standing, I mean, I got a real thrashing. I remember a gentleman that lived down below us, and he was kind of a, I don't know, maybe you might say kind of a gossip, you know. He had a country store down there, and he was always down at Murdoch's store, and people would ask him the latest news, so he had the latest news on everybody. Well, we were working out in the yard one day, my mom and I, and we were raking leaves, or pine needles, actually. We had a bunch of pine trees in our yard. We were raking pine needles. And here this gentleman passes by, and I called him Old Man Motormouth. I said, there goes Old Man Motormouth. Man, I'm telling you, my mother came unglued. I'm telling you, she pitched a hissy fit. And nobody, absolutely nobody, could set you straight faster than my mom. I'm telling you, she said, listen, in regards to what you think about him, he is as old as he is, and he was much older than 65. And he survived this, and he's got a lot of friends in this neighborhood, me being one of them. And I want to inform you, John Wesley Grant, that the way you're going, somebody probably killed you before you get his age. She says, and if you're not careful, it just might be me. So I said, yes, ma'am. And I began to rake pine needles. In 1 Peter 5, we want to talk about civil leaders today, but we also want to talk about spiritual leaders. And this is talking about spiritual leaders. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through verse 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us, actually, that we should submit ourselves to each other, doesn't it? Paul says in Philippians, he said, submit yourself to one another. And the thing about what really keeps unity intact in a church is when everybody submits to each other. Now, in the Bible, a superior, let's say a father, he has the authority to pull rank on his subordinate son. You know, he has that authority. Now, I know the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, but anyone who is your superior has the right to pull rank on you. Now, if you submit to your brother, you do not have a right to pull rank on him. I'll show you how this works. So if you're submitting to someone and they're doing something you don't like, you do not have the right to go tell somebody and create some kind of a big rift over it. Now the beauty of it is if you submit to him and he submits to you, then both of you lock your jaws. And you cannot then gossip and cut each other down. Now, gossip is a sign of an unforgiving spirit. And people who gossip then cannot be saved. Now, this is pretty strong, isn't it? Now, that doesn't mean if you gossip, you can't repent and be saved. But as long as you're gossiping, you cannot be saved because it's a sign of an unforgiving spirit. And if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. You know, most of the things that bother you, if you just mind your own business, study to be quiet, then everything would work okay. So, this is what keeps unity in the house of God. And also we have government, not only in the house of God, but we have government in the family, we have government in the community, government in the church, government in the nation. And where there is government, it is always connected with peace. When I was a kid, most policemen were called peace officers. because they kept the peace. You know, you can just argue and argue and argue that you weren't speeding, but nevertheless, he has the final say. No, said I know I didn't stop all the way, but I intended to. I just kind of came to a rolling stop and just took out. So one policeman said, so you think it's okay then not to stop when the sign says stop? You don't see any difference between stop and slowing down. And she said, no. This lady said, I don't. He said, okay, let me show you. So he takes out his stick. You know, these policemen carry that stick. He starts pounding on her on the head. And she said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, you want me to stop or you want me to slow down? So, but what we need to do, we just simply need to, we need to be thankful for our elders. That's what the Bible says. And then 1 Timothy 5:17, if you go there, let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now this is just so beautiful. Now I do not feel one bit intimidated to stand up and talk about submission to authorities, even though I am a pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. Why? Because that's my responsibility. I don't feel any more embarrassed about that than I did when I was raising my children and told them, now listen, you need to listen to me. You know, and kids will always, it's always a battle of who's in charge. You'll find this out. Some of you with the little ones that are not yet crawling and talking, as soon as they get to where they can communicate with you, they would test your authority. It's always a matter of who's in charge. So, you know, I'm in charge. Now, when they get older and you tell them to do something, they say, why? And sometimes, you know, if you gave an explanation, they wouldn't understand it. And this is the reason why that some parents just say, because I said so. How many of you have done that before? All of us have done that, haven't we? Now, that doesn't mean that an explanation's not in order, but even if you give an explanation, sometimes it's still, I want to know why, you know. I want to know why. So I think, according to the scripture, that we need to honor our elders, United Pentecostal Church. We have Brother Bernard and Brother Jones, our secretary, and Brother Mooney and Brother Gleason, assistant general superintendents. Brother Putnam, Sister Putnam, Brother and Sister Caskey, Brother Herman is our leader here in our section, our presbyter. These men need to be honored. And I know I hear this all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, I honor the office, not the man. Now, wait a minute. You're stretching scripture when you say that. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, honor the king. It doesn't say the office of the king. It says, honor the elder. It doesn't say the office of an elder. And you know the reason why you say that? Because you don't like them. But let me just give you a little hint. The Bible, Paul says to Timothy that we should pray for those in authority so that we have peace among us. So here's the thing. If you are praying intercessory prayers, how can you pray intercessory prayers without developing love for somebody? Now you think about what I'm saying. How can you pray intercessory prayers without developing love for them? You may say, how can I love them when their political philosophy and everything is so contrary to my personal beliefs? The same way you can love a child that has become wayward and maybe left home and defied you. When you start praying intercessory prayers, your heart changes. Your heart changes. So we should honor our elders. Of course, I read the scripture about submitting to them. But Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, talks about honoring our parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, even after I got married, I didn't always do what mom and dad told me to do. And they actually, a couple of times, I think they wanted to fuss with me about some things, and I just listened to them. I never opened my mouth and said, look, I'm an adult. I do what I want to do. I'm not under your roof anymore. The truth of the matter is, you know, I established my own line of authority when I left my father and mother. But that does not make me exempt from honoring them. And the word honor means to show respect, to revere, or to be in awe. Now, those are pretty strong words. I'll give you an example. I remember my wife and I when we went to San Antonio, Texas to the General Conference. Across the street from our hotel was the Alamo. Well, I grew up in Texas, never been to the Alamo, and of course one thing that when you have Texas history, you hear a lot about the Alamo. If you hear Texans talk, you'd think they won the battle. Really? I was talking to a minister that he was kind of a Civil War buff. You know, he really got into it. And he said, you know, Brother Grant, he came up here with it. He said, you know, the North would have won the war if they'd had Robert E. Lee. Now, you said that twice, and I said, hold a minute. I think they did win the war. He says, oh, yeah, I guess they did. But I remember us going into the Alamo. So we go into the Alamo, and of course, you know, a lot of great soldiers, David Crockett being one of them, died in the Alamo. So when you go in there, and you wait for you can't just walk through it at random. It's a guided tour. Two or three guys walked in behind me, and they were younger than me. I believe probably older teenagers, maybe younger adults. All the men had hats on. So the tour guide came over and said, sir, would you gentlemen please remove your hats? One of them stepped out and said, why? He said, well, by the time we finish this tour, I think you'll know why. But until you understand, we have to ask you to remove your hat. And he says, well, I'm not removing my hat. The tour guide just went over and opened the door and said, okay, then you come back this way. Because we do this in honor of men who gave their lives to make Texas free. And I thought so much about what he said. I remember, you know, I still can't get accustomed to men in public places wearing a hat. I'm just telling you, I said I'm old school. That's the way I grew up. Even when you walked in your own house, you pull your hat off. Walk in church, you pull your hat off. And before I sit down to eat, always had to go wash my face, comb my hair. First, remove your hat. Why do you need to do this? In honor and respect to the lady of the house that worked so hard to give you this good meal. Show appreciation. No, but we see people going in restaurants all the time and hats on, and bow their heads and pray. And you may say, you mean to tell me I'm doing wrong? Well, I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just simply saying that, you know, unless there is a measurable amount of discipline in your life, let me tell you, you will become ungrateful. See, in the Old Testament, there was a prophet that came from God that taught them how to fear the Lord. In other words, Israel became so unthankful, so ungrateful, that they forgot how to fear the Lord. You know, I got to thinking, now how do you teach young people to fear the Lord? You know, one of the signs of the last days, Romans 2, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, I personally think the way that you teach people to fear the Lord is it starts when kids are real small. You teach them first to respect you. Then you teach them good manners at the table, so they're not just throwing food and you know, you go in some restaurants. Honestly, it's unbelievable the amount of noise. I took Brother Treadway to a real nice restaurant, and there was a little girl, and I have never in my life seen anybody fight for a whole hour. She did. I mean, she was serious about kicking and doing everything. And here we're trying to talk, and you just couldn't hardly talk. You know, what in the world's going on? Reminded me when we were in Germany, went into a German restaurant. There was three or four tables, and they had German Shepherd dogs underneath the table. So the people next to us were speaking English. So I thought, well, I'll strike up a conversation. I said, oh, a beautiful dog. I said, now, in the States, we're not allowed to take dogs in restaurants unless they're service dogs. Oh, I know. That's what he said. I know. I've been there. Yep. I said, but you can bring your dogs in restaurants here. He said, oh, yeah, but keep in mind that our dogs are more disciplined than your children. he didn't pull any punches. That's what he said. Our dogs are more disciplined than your children. So you know, when we went to the table, my dad, and of course this is old school, if you go to Germany or Europe, this is European custom. You know, here children eat first, but we always pass the plate to dad first. Dad ate first, and then the children. Mom always was last because she was the one in charge of serving. And you may say, well, I don't know about that. Now, I am not trying to teach you how to train or discipline your kids. All I'm simply saying is that there has to be some discipline. If there's no discipline, then there's not going to be any respect. And if there's no respect, they won't respect you. Consequently, they won't respect their brothers or sisters in the house of the Lord later on, and will not respect or revere God, and will not fear him. I remember when I was a kid, you know, we go to funerals. I hated to go to funerals. I'd have nightmares two or three days afterwards, you know. And I tell my mom about it. I don't want to go to funerals again. I have nightmares. She said, son, in order for you to develop emotionally, this is good for you. I said, what about the nightmares? She said, well, it's probably good for you too. Teach you to live right. She said, when you have nightmares, what do you think about? And I said, dying. She said, why would you want to be afraid to die? Well, I knew the answer, because I'm not living right. So she said, is it because you're not living right? I said, oh, yeah, I think so. She said, then why don't you go? I said, I'm requesting that you go Some of these are your relatives, you know. But don't you remember when you were a kid, especially you older people, that if you go in a graveyard, you wouldn't even walk on a grave. You wouldn't step on a grave. You go in between, you know, you'd just do anything. Now people just walk out at random and drive pickup trucks over them and everything else. And I remember after moving to Madison, I was not accustomed to this, I hold a funeral, and here's the funeral procession, and the cars just passing, random. Years ago, you know, you'd all have to pull over and stop. And there'd be a policeman there, and you could go through the lights, even though they're red, they'd say, come on through, in honor of the dead. And I think, you know, that all of this has some bearing on how grateful we are for even our soldiers and civil leaders who give their life for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 17, this is quite a passage of Scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now, if you don't understand this, then you just need to make a note. Read Romans 13. How many of you are familiar with Romans 13? Not enough of you. Okay. Write it down. I want you to read it. Read it this weekend. And see what it says about civil leaders as well as spiritual leaders. Romans 13. For so is the will of God. So if you honor the king, then you honor governors and every ordinance of man. This is the will of God. I said it's the will of God. Now, I'm going to throw out something here that if you're getting email about the president and all kinds of jokes, why don't you just eliminate that before you even read it? You may say, oh, Brother Grant, did you vote for President Obama? It's really none of your business. But here's the thing about it is, once the lot is cast, according to Proverbs 18:18, when the lot is cast, then contention ceases. In other words, you may not always get your way, but are you principled enough to say, okay, everybody's praying for him, I'm going to pray for him. If there's anything I'd like to see, I'd like for him and Michelle to walk into an apostolic church someplace in the Washington, D.C. area and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. And I'll tell you one thing, he'd be a much better president with our prayers than he will be without our prayers. And let me tell you something. When Peter wrote this and he talked about governors and he talks about kings, these people were extremely corrupt. They were actually killing Christians. But he said, this is the will of God concerning you. Now, Peter was the first one that says, I'd rather obey God than man. You remember that? And yet he writes this ordinance. So the rule of thumb is that we obey every ordinance of man unless there's a mandate in the scripture for us to do otherwise. And of course, the mandate to the apostles were to preach the gospel to every creature. So this is the will of God, verse 15, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants, be subject to your masters. That means employees, be servant to your employer. I don't know about that. Hey, I didn't write this. This is not the gospel according to Pastor Grant. But this is scripture. This is scripture. For this reason, then, when the Vietnam War was fought, and we had some veterans that attended here, and I was very close to one man and his wife. In fact, Sister Grant and I worked and put their wedding together, and I performed the wedding for them. But he said, when I got off the plane here in Dane County, people stood in line and spit on me and said, until I came here for this Veterans Day service, the first time in all the 30 years or whatever it was that anyone says thank you. So maybe you didn't agree with the war. Now, please keep in mind, you see, this is a free nation, and our nation is different from most all nations of the world, and it's different in this respect, that we actually own the government. That's what happens in a democracy. We own the government. We have the right to vote and change things, but we never have a right to disobey Scripture. I say we never have a right to disobey Scripture. And today, you know, if you go to the U.S. Capitol, you look down this long, cleared spot on the end of it's a Washington Monument, and in between are all of these monuments, a memorial for Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and World War II and World War I and Korea and Vietnam. We had the Vietnam traveling wall here. It was a replica of it. And we have out on our, above where the Secret Sisters, we have a picture of it. It was presented to Calvary Gospel Church because of us hosting a veterans service. I got to tell you, I'm just forever grateful for the many, many people that have given their life now in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, I didn't feel good when we went into Iraq, and I didn't feel good when we went into Afghanistan. I thought we were fighting a war that we probably couldn't ever win, because these people have been at war for all their lives. But I tell you, when our flag flies, there's still something in my heart that jumps up and down. When the Pledge of Allegiance is said, I think it's only fitting, if you live here in this country, that you pledge allegiance to the flag. When the national anthem is sung, it does something. On the other hand, when I'm in service in spiritual leaders like Brother N.A. Urshan and Brother C.M. Becton and Brother Billy Cole and J.T. Pugh, Brother Gerald Mangan, Brother V.A. Gidrose. Brother Gidrose was such a great leader among us. He was a Texas district superintendent for years. And when I was in Madison, he had retired, and we got him up to preach, and what a great man. Brother S.G. Norris, I've spent time with him and taught at the Bible school there when he was president. Brother M.J. Wolfe down in Illinois. Brother Ellis Sism, missionary to India. And Brother Guy Rome. And all just many, many more. You know, I got to tell you, I feel a debt to these people. I'm very thankful that my pastor, Brother W. Fuller, was able to come and be with us at our 40th anniversary. He's 85 years old now. And may not be able to make another trip. And I learned so much from him. But, you know, what I want to do, I want to keep alive the doctrine of the new birth, the one God, the doctrine of separation. They lived and died for it. They worked all their life, and many of them never got to see some of the things that we're seeing right now. I just feel it's just so great. Now, when Joshua crossed over Jordan, he said, I want you to take 12 stones. I want you to go out, place them near the bank of the river. Then I want you to go back into the river while it's still dry. Pick up 12 stones, and I want you to put them in the middle of the river. And when the water comes over, you'll never see those stones. But let these visible stones be a memorial. You know, we have some invisible memorials and some visible ones. But the sad part about it is, the sad thing about it is, they actually forgot. The Bible says they forgot. In the book of Judges, the 17th chapter, verse 6, and the very last verse of the Bible, those are the key scriptures of the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own sight. And you know, that's what's happening in our nation today. Disregard for leaders, disregard for fallen leaders, disregard for soldiers. And yet, men still are losing their life every day for me and for you. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:29, and this is a scripture that's been taken out of context by many people, especially the Mormons, because they believe in baptizing for the dead. Thus, what shall they do which will baptize for the dead, if the dead raise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? What Paul is saying, that if Christ was still in the grave, what is the purpose of getting baptized? He said everything you would do concerning the gospel and the message he left would be in vain. So every man that goes down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they do it not only for their salvation, but in sincere appreciation, first to the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he has done, and then for those that followed. And if you wrote a list of all the people that you should be thankful for, and you do this, you know, I thought one time right after I was saved, if my mom and dad weren't alive, I wonder what I'd do. I said, you know, who knows what I might do. Now they're all gone, and I catch myself wanting to do things exactly the way they did. And one of these days, we're gonna gather around the throne, and we're gonna sit down with our relatives. You know, the Jewish people in the Old Testament, there's not much in the Old Testament about streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. Because that they were Jews, and because that they had strong family ties and love. They would always ask, can we sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's what they wanted. But the Gentiles, who could care less who their grandfather was or great-grandfather. It seems that streets of gold and walls of jasper become more appealing. But you know what? I am looking forward to the day in which I can sit down with my grandfather, Wallace, who night after night after night after night would pray with me out on the front porch of his house and look up into the heavens and talk about passing the moon and the stars to go to the holy city to be with him. My grandmother, who would take the Bible and read it. My mom took me to Sunday school when my dad was not saved. taught me the way of truth and prayed for me. And my dad, who came in about the same time that I came in, we both made a baptismal tank and installed it in our church. And my dad was the first one to get baptized. I was the second one. I'm looking forward. But above all, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'd like you to stand, would you? Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you know that Jesus Christ shed his blood to take your sins away? Now, you need to repent in order to have those sins killed, and you need to be baptized in order to have them remitted or removed. But you can do that right here today. You can show appreciation to Jesus Christ. You know what's going to happen to your adulterous lifestyle? It's going to bring you much heartache and much sorrow. That's what it's going to do. You know what's going to happen to your lifestyle of promiscuity and slipping around and reading pornographic magazines and the internet and such? It's going to end up in much sorrow. It'll end up in much sorrow. You know what's going to happen if you don't dedicate your life to the Lord and you raise those children? They're not going to know the way of truth. And someday they're going to die lost without God. Today is the day for you to make an about face. Today is the day for you to turn over a new leaf. Today is the day for you to say, I want to be grateful to my Lord and Savior. So I'm going to open the altar for you to come. If you're sick in body, please come and stand over here on your left, on this side. Also, if you need assistance with some problem that you've been wrestling with, come and stand right in front of the pulpit. And if you want to renew yourself in the Holy Ghost, or you want to receive the Holy Ghost, come and stand over here on your right. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on, right now.